So I looked outside this morning, and the windows, even before I even had my glasses really on, they were really, really bright. And I'm like, oh, no. No, no. Yeah, there was snow coming down, big flakes. And I thought to myself, you know, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. But I really didn't want a yellow slushy. Anyway, ha ha, ha ha. Yes. I just want to take time to honor our mothers. I'm thankful for my mom, who spent many years teaching me and doing many things with me, but especially for her time that she spent teaching us about God and taking time to be our Sunday school superintendent, to take that role on and work in that realm. But also for my mother-in-law, who's up with us right now, and I'm thankful for that time to be with her, that she raised Corey in being a godly man. We have lots to be thankful for with that. So take time today to give your mom a call if she's not here and honor her. But I do want to share just a little bit. Kenzie, if you'll put up the scripture. And if you will, all open your Bibles. I'm just going to read a little scripture with you. So in Isaiah chapter 54. So Isaiah 54 and verse 13 is a really good Mother's Day promise. And a scripture that maybe you might need to claim for your kids. So in verse 13, it starts, "All your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great." Do you need that today? Do you need to be reminded that they will be taught of the Lord? Maybe you have children that are not living after God, but you need to know that they can be taught. And this is a scripture to hang on to. Let's go into 14. "In righteousness, you will be established." In righteousness. Now, whose righteousness is it? Is it your righteousness? No, it's not our righteousness. It is Jesus Christ's righteousness. He is the one who establishes us. And it continues on and says, "You will be far from oppression. You will not fear. And from terror, for it will not come near you. If anyone fiercely assails you, it will not be from me, but whoever assails you will fall because of you." Because of you. That kind of sounds odd, and I had to reread that a few times, but you know, you actually choose if someone is going to be over top of you. You actually choose to let that happen. So I want to encourage you to choose to fight the spiritual fight, because our struggle is not with flesh and blood. Our struggle is against powers and the forces of darkness and the forces of wickedness, and it's all done in the heavenlies. I don't know, but I was troubled last night, and I was up reading this scripture and just praying in the Spirit, because there are forces against us trying to stop us from pushing on in the faith. I just want to continue on. 16 and 17. "Behold, I myself have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work. And I have created the destroyer to ruin." But verse 17. "No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord." Their vindication is from God. So mothers, do not fear that your children will be established. They will be in Christ's righteousness. Hold fast to this scripture of promise and pray with authority, taking spiritual forces of darkness and wickedness under the authority of Christ's righteousness. Call out those forces of intimidation or depression or sickness or fear or hate, even about this war that's going on right now. Pray about it in the heavenlies, that these negative things will be taken to task and that they have no place in your life. And then let us rest in Him and believe in Him, for He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him.
Yeah, well, for those of you who are mothers, happy Mother's Day. For those of you who aren't, hey. Happy day. Yes. Oh, happy day. Happy day. Hey. Yeah, I wish there were more songs about mothers. But there is Faith of Our Mothers that we could have sung, but we didn't. So, yeah, what do you do? Today, I was thinking about speaking today, and I thought, well, I've tried in the past to express what a mother's love is like and what mothers are supposed to be and all that, but it doesn't really work because I've never experienced being a mother. So I can't really speak from that side of things. I can experience what it was like to be mothered or to watch mothers, but that's it. So I asked different members of our congregation to come up and to speak, and I don't know how long they're going to take, and it doesn't matter. We could be in for a short service. We could be in for a lengthy service. So, but that's okay, because whenever I speak, we could be here for a short service, or we could be here for a longer service. So it's really no difference. Different, but without further ado, I do have an order. We actually randomized the order and then rearranged it. So anyhow, how else do you do it? I don't know. So I'm going to call up Hansi first. And Hansi Capon, welcome. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. First of all, Peter wants me to show you his Mother's Day card to me. He actually remembered to bring it because he so badly wants you to see his beautiful brown bee. My mommy is 84 years old. Her favorite food is banana. Her favorite animal is lion, and she loves to paint. Okay, done that. All right. Let us pray. Father, I ask that you come here today and that you calm our hearts down, that you calm our thoughts down, that you take away our distractions, that you place our hearts in a place where we can hear your heart for us. Amen. Mother's Day. So I guess I should use a Bible story about a mother, but I'm going to talk about Martha instead, as she's been on my mind quite a lot lately. I think we all know the Martha story, but I'm going to tell it again just to refresh everyone's minds. It's in Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." We all know the story, and generally we feel that the moral of the story is to not get so distracted by all the things that have to be done, and that we need to spend more time in Jesus' presence. This is, of course, true and definitely part of the moral of the story. But we were discussing it the other night, and we kind of discovered two more truths. Martha is doing a good thing. She chooses. She didn't have to. She chose to open her heart, her home for Jesus. And then she had a lot of preparations that had to be made. We could debate this point, but the Bible says a lot of preparations that had to be made. But then she allowed her to-do list to distract her from him. She forgot who her priority was. She forgot that she had chosen to open her home so that she could be with him. Instead of keeping her focus on him, she got distracted. The second thing is that she started comparing herself to others. We all know the saying that comparison is the thief of joy. Here she is, doing something that she chose to do, something good, something special. And she sees her sister, and her joy disappears. Because there's friggin' Mary just sitting around, not helping her at all, and it is not fair. Lord, don't you care, Lord? Tell her to help me, Lord. Oh, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset, or as another version says, anxious and troubled about many things, but few are needed, or indeed, only one. And you know, this really hit home for me, because we all have things we've been called to do, whether it's direct, obvious kingdom work like pastoring, or children's ministry, Riverside Bible Camp, or indirect kingdom work like being an electrician, or an occupational therapist, or a homemaker. And the challenge is to not get so distracted by the job we've been called to do that we forget who called us. And the other challenge is to not compare ourselves and our choices to others, losing our joyful service to the Lord and becoming a cautionary tale for the next 2,000 plus years. I do want to give a bit of hope, though, because poor Martha gets a bad rep in this story because of her choices. But you know, she comes straight up to Jesus, and she shares her heart with him, and he listened. And in a very gentle way, not denying that there was work to be done or that it was important, he told her that truly only one thing was actually important, and that was him. This strikes me as an interaction between people who love each other and trust each other. Our Lord wants us to tell him about our struggles, and he may tell us that we're doing it to ourselves, but he'll do so gently and with love. Love. Do you know that in John 11, verse 5, John writes, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Martha and her sister. Martha and her sister. He calls her by name. Jesus loves Martha. He does not need her to be perfect. He needs her to invite him into her home and share her heart with him. So, dear ladies and gents, we all have things we have been called to do and mile-long to-do lists, and it is very distracting and anxiety-provoking. It causes us to worry and our hearts to be troubled. But let us not get distracted. Let us not lose our joy by comparing ourselves to what others have been called to do and are doing. No, may we open our lives to the Lord and share our hearts with him, for he loves us.
Amen. Thank you, Ansi. When I put the schedule together, I decided I was going to put this by age, but apparently I was wrong because she was 84 years old. Doesn't she look great for 84 years old? Wow. Anyhow. The next one we're going to have is actually by video because Charmin's downstairs with the kids, and I wasn't thinking when I asked her to do this, but she also was thankful for that because then she doesn't have to stand here in front of you and be nervous about it. So we do have a video from Charmin.
Moms. Honoring moms and all the things that we do. The things that not everybody sees unless it's not done. Picking up the clothes off the floor, putting the assignment in the backpack. Mom, where's my charger? Where's the game? But being a mom or someone of influence to someone else, you don't physically have to give birth to be a person of mom abilities. Mentoring others, speaking hope and encouragement is important. My mom showed me how to work hard and enjoy the accomplishment of completing a job. She also shows me that you can have fun. She's going to be 77 this summer, and one thing she now says is that she can nap whenever she wants to. She can pick up and go and see her sisters and hang out with them and have fun and rest as she goes. Love you, Mom. Another mentor who gave her time to me. She opened her home. She let me see life happen. She let me see how she handled her kids being disrespectful and how she honored her husband as he walked in headship in the home, how they worked together. She was one who encouraged me and expected me to grow. I'm not going to say her name because I didn't ask permission from her, but she was a great example. The safe person to go to when life sucked, and she listened and was real and brought faith. I'm glad that God brought more of those people into my life and people that I can be that for as well. Proverbs 12:18. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. I'm thankful for those who have brought healing through the words and that I've been given opportunity to bring healing to others and to not be reckless with my words. Proverbs 18:15. The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, and the ears of the wise seek it out. Seek out wisdom. Seek out those who have been there, done that. Or find those brave enough to walk through some area of life for the first time. You're not alone. Let their words bring healing. But also know it's okay to not follow all the information that comes your way. That's where relationship with the Father comes in. Because there will be those who will be well-intentioned and the wisdom might have worked for their situation, but you can go to the Father and go, am I supposed to apply this information for my situation? Each of us is uniquely formed, Jeremiah 1:5. Each of us has a unique purpose and plan, Jeremiah 29:11. So you can listen to the mentors in your life, take their input, and then ask the Father what you should do. And then either do it or let the information fall to the side. It's okay. Also, a word for mentors, it's okay to pass on wisdom and leave it there. Don't think that the person has to do what you say. Let it go. Plant the seed. Let it go. And it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to try and fail. It's okay to take that information, try it, fall down. But when you're ready, get up, keep going, do one thing at a time. Live life with others. You're not alone. Ask for help when you need it. Let's love one another, whether we're in a mom position or a mentoring position.
Thank you, Charmin. I'll thank her also in person later. But Eunice, your turn. I thank all these ladies for just saying yes, they would speak. And well, there was nobody in between. There was one other, but they ended up not being able to be here. So, you know.
So your turn.
Can you put it in?
I can.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. I think Ansi took part of my thing, but that's all good. We didn't use the Proverbs 31 woman for a reason, right, Ansi? First, I'd like to say how blessed I was to have a godly mother who raised me to fear God and was a wonderful example of how to be a mother. Her shoes were hard to fill, but God's grace helped me a lot. I'm also thankful for a wonderful mother-in-law that raised a godly husband for me. I'm thankful for the blessing of three wonderful children and four precious grandchildren. Such blessings. And two of them surprised me and came. Well, my son brought them. That was very kind of him. They got there late last night. I'm like, I didn't know they were coming. It was just an extra special blessing. One of the devotionals that I've been reading for the last while has been on the third chapter of Ecclesiastes. To everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. The seasons of motherhood are ever-changing, but one of the verses caused me to ponder more than the others. As I read the chapter, maybe you can guess which one stood out to me. So Ecclesiastes 3, to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to be silent, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Which one do you think stood out to me? No, it wasn't the one, a time to keep, a time to throw away, although my families can attest to that. That's one that I have a hard time with, throwing things away. But it was the one, a time to speak, or a time to keep silent and a time to speak. So I pondered that one a lot, and that's what I'm going to share about. This verse is in the Bible, in Ecclesiastes 3:7. Just a disclaimer here in front of my husband and now my son and daughter-in-law and grandchildren, that I've probably got those two things mixed up more often in the last 46 years of marriage and 44 years of being a mother than I want to admit publicly or give too many examples of those times. But that being said, I find it interesting to see examples in the Bible of women who spoke up at the right time and those who remained silent when it was a good choice. Esther spoke up to her husband the king and saved her people. That was a good time to speak up. Mary found her son Jesus in the temple learning, and it says she kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. She remained silent and didn't scold him for causing her such worry for being missing for 3 days. Words have power of matter in matters of life and death, and those who love them will savor their fruit. That's Proverbs 18:21. When Jesus came to Mary and Martha's house, and Mary was busy rushing around making preparations to feed the guest, Jesus told her she should be more like her sister and sit and learn at Jesus' feet. Now, if you've invited guests over for a meal and at a specific time when they arrived, you were just doing your time of devotions and meditating, it may not be too well received. Now, I've sometimes jokingly told people when they came into the kitchen at camp and asked what was for supper, that we were going to be fasting and praying. Usually didn't get too excited about that. Maybe that's a time for cooking and a time of praying, as Golda can sometimes attest that we pray more in the kitchen sometimes than in the chapel. Make this food stretch. But in Martha's defense, she wasn't wrong to be concerned about the guest's physical welfare, but she must take time to be concerned about her own spiritual welfare and feed her spirit. So when she spoke to her guests and served them, it was seasoned with grace. When our children were growing up, we used to watch the news on TV at supper time. Early on, we decided that that was not very beneficial and that our time together at the table would be better spent visiting and catching up on everyone's day. What we dwell on affects our spirits. In Philippians 4:8 it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things." Matthew 12:34 says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." The tongue has the ability to bless and to curse. And as mothers, we have such powerful influence on our children when they are young, when we spend constant hours and years directing, correcting, and influencing in a positive direction. Sometimes they make decisions that we would love to intervene and save them from the consequences of those decisions. But that may be the time to remain silent. As they grow older, we must remain silent more often and ponder things on our hearts, more like Mary. Fortunately, we also have the blessed gift of the Holy Spirit that can guide them in all truth, because we can't be beside them every step of the way. When they become adults and they're fully launched, a silent tongue will be a must unless we are asked, and then prayerfully choose our words when to open our mouth to speak. I speak to myself here and say, ask God, take captive every thought of obedience to Christ. And as we are reminded in 2 Corinthians 10:5, in Psalm 19:14 it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." And 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 17 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks." If I, by the help of the Holy Spirit, put those three things into practice in my life, I will have an easier time knowing when to keep silent and when to speak. Thank you.
Do you need your bookmark as well? I think that's, is that yours? Thank you. Good themes. I'm enjoying this. Next, I have the privilege of asking my mother to come up. This is the one that birthed me. I was thinking, what did I get from her? Well, it's obvious that I got her height. Hi. Perfect, right, yeah. I didn't get her looks because she's so much better looking than I am, but I'm so thankful that I got to be raised in such a godly home. Yes, my dad was a pastor, but my mom held, you did have deaconess papers, did you not, or did you not go that route? You didn't go that road. But she has 3 years of Bible college as well. My dad had 3 years of Bible college. She had 3 years of Bible college, graduated in Edmonton. And so I'm very learned in the biblical and spiritual truths. And so I had a double dose, the double-barreled shotgun of God's grace. And so I'm very thankful for my mom, and I'm excited to hear from her. So here is, you want this in this, or you want to hold it?
No, I don't want you to stand here because you aren't always nice. Now, when Corey printed this off for me, he said, "Man, that'll take you 2 minutes." I said, "Well, I can always speak slow." So I know it was said that we honor our mother, and when I looked at my paper, I thought, boy, I didn't even mention my mother. I was raised in a Christian home. My parents actually became believers. Well, I shouldn't say that. They were raised in a different denomination, but they really accepted the Lord when I was, I think, 1 year old. And I was the fourth daughter, and they had two more after me. So I was raised in a home with only girls, raised on a farm. So we all learned to do the farm work. And one thing I can remember about my parents, and I'm not talking about my parents only, but my dad always prayed. We all, after breakfast, we all got down on our knees by our chair, and we prayed. If it was threshing time, and we had a crew of threshers at our place, that was something Dad always practiced, and usually everybody stayed in the room with us. So, anyway, when Corey asked me to speak on this special day, I didn't know what to say, but I always like to listen to what he says. And my thoughts immediately went to mothers. Mothers are women in the Bible. And we have a lot of stories in the Bible where mothers or women were very, very involved in doing things in the Bible. But the more I thought about this, I thought, okay, who should we talk about? Auntie talked about Martha. Eunice sort of mentioned Martha. But the one that came to my mind was Mary, the mother of Jesus. What do we know about her? I looked it up on the computer. They say there's not much said about Mary. We all know the Christmas story in Luke 1:30, where the angel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Then you think, what does it mean to have favor with God? What do I have to do to find favor with God? Do we have a manual telling us how to find favor with God? It's something that we have to ask ourselves. What can we do? The Bible tells us in Matthew 6:33 to seek first the kingdom of God. Spend time with God. Spend time in his presence. Now, that doesn't mean we have to sit down and do that. My best time to pray is when I wake up in the middle of the night. I can pray to the Lord, spend time in his presence. Or when we're working, we can spend time in his presence. We can love him. Mary, of course, is mentioned in Jesus' birth, riding on a donkey to Bethlehem, giving birth in a stable, laying her newborn son in a manger. But as a mother, is that where it all stops? It doesn't. And even as a parent, I shouldn't just say a mother, but we're talking about mothers. There is nursing a baby or bottle feeding, changing diapers. You know, in those days, they did not have disposable diapers. We don't even know what kind of diapers they had. But those were some things that had to be done. And then babies grow up. They begin to teeth. Or first of all, you begin to spoon feed them. Then they cut teeth. They are cranky. All these things aren't always pleasant things as a parent. How did Mary handle all this? I am sure Jesus was a normal child. Maybe he didn't squabble with his brothers and sisters, but he probably played with them. I don't know what they had for toys, but they were, I mean, he was normal. Was he a peacemaker? I don't think that he entered in the squabbles. I really don't think that. He probably learned to crawl and then walk and brought much joy to his mother as she watched him achieve these things in his life. Maybe she saw he was different than other children or even his siblings. Now, I have one daughter and three boys, and each one of them had a different personality, a different temperament. Corey was probably more of a calmer kid. I had one who was very... He liked to create a problem, and I mean, sometimes I lost my cool with the kids. It wasn't always just this. I wasn't this perfect mother, never getting angry. Mary was a mother, like each of us who are mothers. She probably had no favorite child, but loved each of her children the same. When she saw something different in Jesus, she thought about this and possibly tried to figure it out. Luke 2:19 says, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And we probably, as mothers, have done the same thing, wondering about our kids. At 12 years old, when they journeyed to Jerusalem, or wherever they went, and then they had journeyed for 3 days, and then found out that one of their children was missing. Jesus was missing. How would we as mother feel if this happened to us? What were her feelings? I'm sure she had very much anxiety. Did they lose him along the way? 3 days is a long time. Where did they lose him? They took the time to walk back or ride or whatever they did, and they found him in the temple. What did she think when she saw him talking to important people? Was she upset? Or what were her thoughts? How much stress did they have? Was she angry that he had put them through this of 3 days of losing 3 days of journey, going back to where they started out and found him there? How did she feel? Mary was with her children through their teenage years. We can all think back when we had teenagers. Now, I can say that my kids, I guess I was blessed. They didn't go out and party a lot. They sort of stayed home. Although later on I did find out that there were some things they did do that we didn't know about. The Bible doesn't tell us what Mary thought. We can only think of we have our own assumptions about Mary. But I'm sure she was a proud mother of the accomplishments that her kids had. Jesus was a carpenter, like his father. I'm proud of my kids, what they have accomplished. Now, as I was sitting here this morning, I was thinking about Corey. Now, Corey did say his dad was a pastor. You know what his other profession was? School bus driver. It seems to be a trend that if you're a pastor, you end up driving a school bus. And that's what he did. Jesus saw her son perform miracles, things out of the ordinary. What were her thoughts when he did things like that? She knew what the angel had said to her. How did she grasp all that and put it into perspective? At the wedding, when he turned water into wine, what were her thoughts? But she said to the servants in John 2:5, whatever he says, do it. She saw her son being mocked. You as parents, possibly you see, or the children come home and they tell you that they have been bullied. What are our thoughts then as parents? What do we like to do to the people that are bullying them? How did Mary feel seeing this happening to her son? And it's not only the son, it's then or our children, it's our grandchildren, the same thing. Then she saw her son being nailed to a cross. I can't even imagine what it would be like to see this go on. But she was there seeing this happen. She saw her son in a lot of pain. It was breaking her heart as she saw him take his last breath. She didn't know that he was going to arise again. That was something that she didn't, I'm sure she was not aware of. So she went through all of this. And had to bear it. I don't know if anybody took her away or went home with her or what happened. So what does this all mean to us? What does it mean to me, to you? Through every situation, we put our trust in the Lord. Some walk through deep valleys, and we trust the Lord. And it's so easy to trust the Lord when we are on top of the mountain, and we think at times, oh, I can do this all on my own. I don't really need the Lord. But we need the Lord on the mountaintop as well as down in the valley. He wants to be near us. He never leaves us alone. And can we stay in that secure place and give ourselves totally to Him, this beloved Son of Mary? Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, Mom. And we have it on video record that I was a good kid, a calm kid. And I thank God for two things. One, that Mom could get through the anxieties and the patience that it required to raise us four kids. And I also thank God that she probably only knows half of what we did. But anyhow... We won't get into that. But thank you so much. What a wonderful thing. What I heard today was that we can get busy doing things and get distracted. But while we are doing things, we can be thinking, we can be pondering, we can be praying, and we can still be sitting at the feet of Jesus even while we are doing things. And that what we need to do is we need to concentrate on Jesus. And we can use the examples that we found in the Bible so that we can do that. And we can have good life because of those examples. So, Father, thank you for this day. And thank you for these words that we have received. And I pray, God, that we will be able to take them ourselves and we will be able to ponder what was said. And, Lord, that we can have a great day. And I pray a specific blessing upon all the mothers that are here and mothers to be, that Lord, that you would bless them with wisdom and grace and your love that can be passed on to those kids. Thank you so much, Lord. Amen and amen. God bless you richly. Please remember we have Bible study on Wednesday at 7 and then next week at 10:30 right here. Thank you so much. God bless.